not Memorial Day yet, but it's close as we're going to get having a time together. And just want to start off, I found some interesting facts about Memorial Day. And it wasn't always called Memorial Day. Y'all know that? Mm-hmm. When it started off, it was called Decoration Day. And it was a time to go and to clear the grave plots, clear the grave places of the soldiers who had fallen, and decorate them. And they wanted to be in May, May 30th, because the flowers are already being in bloom. There'd be something to decorate them with. Now, after the Revolutionary War in our country, the holiday that really followed and became formalized was Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving kind of came in after that was that. Well, Memorial Day follows the Civil War. That's when it became nationalized, really, 1868. But before then, the place where it actually started, where the people started doing this, was actually a group of women. And they started from Columbus, Mississippi, going out and decorating the grave markers for the Confederate soldiers. And that's really how it started, and just caught on. And the quote that was used was that, let me see if I have it. They have it. If I have it, it'll be better than me trying to halfway remember it. We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time, testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic. I put in our bulletin, thank you to all who have served and to everyone who has contributed. But a more appropriate heading might have been, we remember. That's the idea of Memorial Day. He said, we remember. We haven't forgotten. This whole thing was started saying, we need to remember the cost that was paid for us to enjoy a country that's not at war on our own soil. Last night, I also, again, just kind of doing a little bit of thinking about the day and about the occasion. Watched a little bit of the movie Saving Private Ryan. You don't have to watch a whole lot of that movie if you've seen it before. It's pretty intense. It's pretty intense. Remember, to the end of the movie, very last part of the movie, and Captain Miller, who's played by Tom Hanks, has been mortally wounded. He's shot. He's dying. And he grabs Matt Damon, who's playing Private Ryan, and he grabs him. He says, come here. With his last breath, he says, come here. And he grabs this man who he has, you know, played his whole life out right now just to save this guy so he can get back home, because he was the last of his brothers, if you remember the plot of the movie. And he just says to him just a few words, but are very meaningful, that stay with the man the rest of his life. He says, earn this. Earn this. In other words, remember what cost has been paid so that you can go and enjoy your freedom and live to the full. There was no way to pay the man back. He dies. After he says, earn this, he dies. No way to go back and pay the people who have fought and died for our country so we can enjoy the freedom that they've provided for us to live in. There's no way to pay back really anyone who's given or contributed to us in this way. There's certainly no way to pay back God. What could we give? As soon as a thought enters your mind, let me just assure you, you already have one. You already have one of those, whatever you think you might give them. We can't pay them back, but we can, in the sense, live it out and live to the full. So we're going to talk about today an attitude that lives to the full, that recognizes properly that we're not here where we are based on our own strength or our own willpower, our own, you know, we're all Jewish, that's our own chutzpah. But that's not why. That's not why we're here. You didn't make it on your own mojo, man. You and I are here because many people have contributed. You and I are here because many people have invested. You and I have the rights, the privileges, and the freedoms that we have because many have laid down their lives with whom we can never repay. Greatest of all, we have life and liberty, freedom of choice, love, because of a loving Creator who made us and who has set us this way, and we can never repay Him. The best we have is we can live it to the full. There's some attitudes, though, that come with that. So if you have your scripture, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Remembering the cost. Now there's the attitude that we want to cultivate. I always forget my bulletin. There is a handout in your bulletin. It's an outline of today's service, which I may deviate from if I don't have a bulletin. Not Miss Linda doesn't have one. We won't tell nobody. But the first attitude is one of humility and a sober-mindedness. Sober-minded means that you think rightly of yourself. I got one. Thank you, Mike. You know, sober-minded means we think rightly of ourselves, that we're not overinflated in our own estimation, that we are grounded. Okay? So let me read this scripture, and then we'll pray and we'll get started. Listen to this. For who makes, this is chapter 4, verse 7, who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? If you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Verse 14, it says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. We've heard your word. We're reminded, particularly as American people, that we enjoy great freedoms and prosperity that have been essentially handed to us through the labor and the sacrifice of others. Furthermore, as human beings, help us, Lord, to recognize that life and breath and being itself is a gift from you. Our hope of heaven is a gift from you. Salvation is a gift of God. The Holy Spirit of God who indwells believers, who has been poured out on us, is a gift. That we might even have a hope of knowing you is a gift. And so, Lord, help us to be people who live this life not pouty and self-centered and self-focused, but people who are humble, respectful, grateful. And though we might not be able to change our whole country, our whole world, we can live in such a way that teaches those around us that we are grateful for those who have handed us the great gifts we enjoy today. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Very simply, this first verse that I read, verse 7, says, what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? What in your life is not a gift, a grace gift? Let me ask, how many of you arranged the day of your birth? For show of hands. Now, you may not have liked your parents. They may not have done the best of jobs. Nonetheless, they brought you here through divine appointment. Of no strength of your own, you started to live, breathe, move, eat, mess yourself. You did all those things. Somebody trailed you. None of you died of diaper rash. Might have had had some, but you didn't die of it. None of you died of failure to thrive because there was no one there to coddle you and no one there to burp you or feed you. No one here got to where they are all on their own. There was a good, how many years? I don't know. I mean, I have a 10-year-old, and I don't know how good he would do on his own. He can run mighty fast if somebody chases him. He might not be able to catch him, but I don't know. You know, he's a pretty finicky eater when it came to dinner time. I don't know what he'd eat, you know. Somebody didn't cook him something and buy him something that he liked, he might starve. I don't think he's far from starving. That boy is thin. So that's at least 10 years somebody's taking care of that boy. How long have I been taken care of? There's people in this room who can give me not even a guesstimate, but an exact, you know, exact numbers. Well, my mom being here, you know, my dad, they could say, you know, this is how long, this is what happened. My mom knows precisely. Probably a lot more than I'd like to admit, you know. When I was 18, I thought I had it bad because I had to start paying rent, you know, but that didn't include the food I ate. You can imagine, I could put away some groceries. So it didn't even begin to cover the expenses of what I really paid. Somebody was there contributing to my life. Someone was there helping me along for 20-something years. What do you have that you haven't received? The fact that we have life and breath, who gives us that? You know, in the book of Acts, it says, in Him, in God, we live and move and have our being. Okay, we live and move, we live and breathe and have our being. So let me tell you, you get the claim as your own that you've done in your own power everything you've done while you've held your breath. Everything you've done that you did without the power of God giving you to live and breathe and have your being. Everything you did outside of His help is yours. You did it your own way, like Frank Sinatra. You did it by your own power, your own strength. Everything else, you got to credit to somebody else. Y'all listen. The fact that we owe, we think that's a bad thing. It is financially. I think we don't want to be in a place to owe. But let me tell you, this world is set up that way. We have a creator. You might say, well, I love God. But the truth is, God loved you first. He initiated that. God is the great lover of our soul. God is the one who sought you. You might say, I do pretty good. Well, God set a standard by which we judge good and evil. By the way, there is no good. Just to let you know, we had a conversation earlier. It just reminded me that I need to remind all of us. There's really only two categories, the evil and the saved. And the saved really aren't good people. They're just saved people. God is taking care of them. God's doing something in their life. He's not making them good people. He's making them God's children. There's a big difference in that. I just wanted to kind of give us a little bit of that. There's nothing you have that you didn't receive. You might say, well, now I have kids. I brought children into this world. That's good. Are they healthy kids? Are you healthy after bringing them into this world? Wow. Did you do it on your own? Did you go to the hospital? Did the people at the hospital, did they just show up that day for work? Or did they go and get a degree so that they would know how to take care of women and babies when they're first, you know, giving birth? Because it seems to me that you probably owe, even in that. There was help. So, with that in mind, that we've received everything, y'all, there's no reason for us to be prideful and boastful. You know, we argue with each other and we get mad at each other because we think we're owed something. We think we're all that. I'm all that in a bag of chips, and you better respect me. You better give me. Well, listen, we're all debtors. We're all debtors to grace. We're all debtors to God. We're all debtors to those who have contributed somehow in our life. So why don't we cultivate humility? Now, I'm looking back at my daughter. You know, she's the best dancer in the world. Just you don't have to worry about it. My objective opinion as of her parent is good enough. Best dancer in the world, period. You know, but God has placed in her path a dance instructor who is helping her with just fine tune and polish some of that abundant, overflowing natural ability that she has.
And so even in that, you know, even in her gifts of grace and beauty and talent that she possesses in spades, I'm telling you, she still needs somebody to contribute to her life. Which brings me to the next point. We all have teachers and parents. We all have teachers and parents. You know, this kind of runs into together, but Paul says in verse 14, like I read earlier, I don't write these things to shame you. It is no shame that you have had teachers and parents, or that you need to have teachers and parents. You know, we continue to need teachers and parents. We still need someone to help instruct us and to lead us and to teach us the things that we're not aware of yet. We also still need parents who can correct us and admonish us and rebuke us. Do you think you've outgrown that because you're big? Just because you're pant size as adult now? Just because you wear a size shoe that's not kitty? You know? No, that don't change. You still need it. Man, have you ever come across an adult who acts like a child? Mm-hmm. Ever? Have you ever been that adult? Both hands go up. We continue to need this. We continue to need. And it's not to our shame. It's just the way life is. I continue to need instructors. I continue to need parents. Some people have gladly volunteered to be pseudo-parents for me. You know, to while I'm here to say, hey, wait a minute, been down this road longer than you, but you need to watch out where you're going. You need to consider this. You need to do that. Thank you, Lord, for these parents. Thank you for my parents. Thank you for my mom. I told you a story. My mom is brilliant when it comes to discipline. Brilliant. She had to whoop me one time. Well, let me say, I remember the last time she had to whoop me. Because after that time, she did such a thorough job that I didn't ever mess with her again. And she could just say my whole name, and I just kind of froze up, stopped what I was doing, repented the best of I knew how, and like turned away. You know, I have a big, long name, too, so I knew she'd go through the effort of saying it. She said, John Michael Goldwater Deuson. I said, I surrender all. I'm done. I'm not saying, no, she's sitting there going, making sense. She didn't beat me. But I remember I was trying to get my hair cut, and I kept moving. And she said, from here on out. But you know what? I needed that. You need those things. Every once in a while, I still need them. Don't go ahead and try it. You might get one back. But anyway, but we need those things. We need to have them. It's not to our shame. It just means that we're growing. It means there's still something for us to do, something for us to learn. Now, the instructors, he says here, I don't tell you this to shame you, but to warn you, or to give you insight on this so that you don't become too haughty. That you don't become too high on yourself. You know what happens when we think too much of ourselves? One thing is, we're sure to get disappointed. Because if nobody knows the limits of your strength and what you can do, eventually you will know. You know, you'll be things you want to do and you're going to fail. And you're going to be disappointed because you couldn't do it. You couldn't keep that going. You couldn't keep that relationship on your own. You couldn't do all these things on your own. You know, when you thought, I can do these things. I can master this stuff. I can handle this myself. And then when you fail, boom, you're really bad disappointed. You know, that's a warning. Don't do like that. Don't get too high in your own thinking of yourself. Rely on these instructors. And also, if you're too high in yourself, what are other people going to think about you? They're going to want to be with you? No, because you know your pitfalls. We know your pitfalls too. As soon as you get to know somebody, do you remember last week I preached about the key to deep relationships was forgiveness? Because when you get to know somebody, eventually you're going to have to forgive them if you really know them well. Because they're going to stomp your toes, say something stupid, be offensive, something. They're going to hurt your feelings, and you're going to hurt their feelings, and you're going to have to forgive one another. But if you're too high on yourself, you're never going to apologize. You're not going to receive forgiveness. You never think you need it. No, we all have teachers, we all have parents, and we need to say thank you, and to be respectful. Our greatest teacher Just like the one, the greatest contributor to our lives is God. The greatest teacher and parent we have is God. He's given us earthly examples. So glad for the teachers that I've had and that I'll continue to have. So glad for those. Now, I have a lot more teachers than I do parents, by the way. Parents are a little more, that's a smaller group. There's two biological parents. And then there's a few individuals in our life who are able to stand in there like moms and dads and whoop us if they need to and warn us and correct us. So grateful for those people. I've mentioned before there was a man I called a mumbler, Gary Heim, who shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he couldn't even understand what he said. He just mumbled.
John, you know the girl said, I'm going to ask God in heaven.
Yes, sir. I didn't know what he was saying, but God was saying inside me, yeah, that's true. There is a God in heaven, and you are a sinner.
You know, did Jesus Christ, he died for you on the cross to take away your sin.
Yes, sir. You know, it didn't matter if he mumbled. It was a matter that God was confirming this inside me that ultimately I was, to grace, I was a devil. And Christ died for my sins. I don't have to live as a debtor. He allows me to live as a son. But truly, he gave me something I could not earn on my own. I can't repay him either. Can't repay my parents for all they've done. Maybe I win the lottery financially, I could. But what about all the blood, sweat, and tears? What about all the gray hairs? They look good on you, Mom. They really do. It's part of your look. It's all right. Sorry about that. Hey, great. It says the gray head is an honor. I know we try hard to fight it, you know, but it says it's an honor in the scripture. Man, you know, I can't repay her for the mess I've made in our house, for the things that I've done, the worry, the stress, all those things. It can never be repaid. She can't write me a bill, and I can say, you know, and quantify it just in finances. If she could, I've never, it's more than I'll earn in a lifetime anyway. But I can take the love, the contribution, the caring, and the teaching, and I can live it out. It's exactly what Paul's going for this church when he says, therefore, imitate me. Therefore, imitate me. Verse 16 is such a simple verse. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Once we get our attitude of being humble and sober-minded, when we see that we've had teachers and parents, and we're respectful and we're grateful, now it's time to be diligent and pay it forward. Live it out. Have you been blessed? Have there been great things invested in your life? The answer is yes. I don't care what kind of pity pot story you got. You're alive today. Not everyone is. You live in the wealthiest country in the world. We're the one percenters. You know that whole March on Wall Street thing? Ooh, all the poor, unemployed people chanting out against the rich, you know, Wall Streetians. Well, that's cool and all, but if you look at a global picture, we're all the one percenters. Man, I've been to Brazil where people live on dirt, literally. And the sewer isn't nothing but a trench in the road that they've dug themselves, where the open sewage just runs right by their house, and that's where everyone goes. In India, it's a little bit better because they at least got a river, and that's where everybody uses the restroom and takes a bath and brushes their teeth if they have a toothbrush. You know, I can't imagine what Bert and Suzanne could tell us living in Africa for as long as they did. We are the one percenters.
That's right.
When it comes to the world, we are the ones to whom much has been given. We are the ones who are blessed. I don't have to wish I have a car. I just wish I have gas in one of my two cars. We are those people. And it's not a shame for us to do that. This is not a shame. I did not choose to be born in America. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can live it. And I can recognize that I am highly favored, greatly blessed. I can live that life and not be haughty and overwhelmed with myself, but to live a lifestyle that reflects the truth that everything I have has been given. And I'm a debtor to grace. I'm a debtor to love. I'm a debtor to God. I'm a debtor to those men who fought in the wars that I haven't up to, you know, I have not been called to fight. My children are not at an age to fight. But what does it go through for y'all who have been called and y'all who have sent family, maybe sons and daughters to war? What is that like? To put them on a plane? Or to put them on, you know, a time when we put them on a boat? What is that like to have to sacrifice like that? I don't know. Someone's done it for me. My mom doesn't know. Someone done it for her. Her son, only son, has not had to go. We're debtors. So let's not be shamefaced about it, but glorious. Thank you, Lord, for how you've provided. Thank you, Lord, for what you've made available. And help me to live to the fullest. Help me to live with abandon. Help me to live not hoarding and clutching onto everything. Pinch of that penny until Lincoln starts bleeding out his eyes. Oh, I can't give up. Let's be free. And say, wait a minute. It's been provided for me. Why am I holding everything closed fist? Why don't I hold everything open-handed? Why don't I hold everything like this? Lord, you gave. Lord may take away. That's what Job found out. Lord gives, Lord takes away, but it's all the Lord's. Man, we're just here where we have this opportunity. This is our life. This is it. This is not a playback. There's no reruns available. Sorry. I know that cuts against the grain of some other thoughts and religious philosophies, but there's no reruns and there's no sequels. This is your shot. And man, have we been given much. Let's not forget what the cost was. Let's not forget that we owe. And let's live. Let's live for Christ. Let's live healthy, happy, and holy. All for the glory of God. Amen. As I'm praying, if the ushers would come up with the morning offering, that would be, see you, usher. We're usherless. Here they come. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for today. And Father, for those of us who wrestle maybe with a hard background, who wrestle with acknowledging that our life is a gift, would you break through the cloud? Would you just speak right to their mind, right to their heart, and say, it may not have been perfect, but you're alive, honey. And that's a gift. For those who haven't come to accept that Christ, that God loves them, and that somehow that we're all just by chance free agents here, Father, would you break through that pseudo-intellectual business in their mind that they're wrestling with? Because not only did we not choose our parents, but you can go all the way back. We come from a Creator who loves us. Would you help break through there so there can be a sweet acknowledgement of being a debtor to God? To the God who loves us, who made us, shaped us in His image, prepared a place for us in Christ. Would you help us in that, Lord? Right here in this place, that we might live and we might have a knowing smile on our face that says, I know that God loves me first. I know that He has provided. Therefore, I can live freely, joyfully, excitedly, expectantly, with my hands wide open to give, to receive, and all from Him. And Father, in a practical way, for the sake of the United States of America, would you help us to remember those who have served? And that this Memorial Day, we might decorate a place in our heart that says, thank you for those who have paid so that we can live and enjoy. Those who fought, those who know what it's like to have faced an enemy that wants to kill them. So that those who have put themselves in the place of getting PTSD, so I don't have to. It's not necessarily fair. It's just the way it is. And can we just say thank you? I just want to say thank you. I want to pray further that my children and the children represented here, we don't have to pay that price.
we see things start to change, and Father, I pray that we don't have to send our children to war. But if it's necessary, that we do what's necessary. But Father, I pray that our children will live good, long lives without the horror and tragedy that many generations before us have had to face. Would you help us live in such a way and pray such prayers for your protection and your guidance, not to take for granted, not to be high on ourselves. Father, I thank you for our opportunity to give back. You said even the ability to make wealth comes from you. So we give our tithes and our offerings in a way of saying thank you, Lord, for how you've provided for us and demonstrating that you are our God, God Most High. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.